Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 627. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. It's not your daddy's penthouse. You won't see vagina split open. The fingers just spreading wide. It's not that. You're not going to see that here. Not in this penthouse. It's the Slapbox penthouse, which is a euphemism, or a term for suggesting female masturbation. So it's kind of misleading to call it that, I suppose. Anyway, yeah, I'm here with Josh Albrecht recording here. Yeah, in the penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged cat, is hiding somewhere. He's going to probably jump out at me at any minute. It's going to get me. I don't know when I may have updated it, but I was talking about getting him a friend, that there was going to be another three-legged kitty, possibly, but it sounds like there was somebody else interested in adopting that three-legged kitty, which at the time, I guess I had first brought it up, the cat still had four legs, just one was unusable. I believe now Parker has had the amputation, but there is somebody that was really interested in adopting them, so I don't want to step in the way of that. You know, I've already got one kitty that I enjoy. I don't, not exactly rushing out to get another one, but, I can just foster another one for a little while. Megan's got plenty of cats over there if I want to just play Uncle Fox, though it seems kind of wrong to just bring a friend over, you know, and he gets attached and be like, all right, shipping him off. Seems kind of harsh. I'd hate to break his feelings like that, you know. Break his heart. Break his feelings. Break his heart. That's what I was looking for. Son of a bitch. I did have, I did work today. I worked 6 days this week, so I'm a little tired. And we fucking had one rough week, man. There was a day where we broke the tonnage record in a shift. And since that day, shall we say, I've been sore. We did 86 point something tons on our line, which is definitely, I mean, obviously we broke the record. It's the most I've ever done there. Generally speaking, on the line in which I work on, we do like, on average, about 40 tons in a day. It's 40 to 50 tons. Sometimes if it's really small, we might do only like 30 something tons, but I mean, say like mid-30s to like if it's a high day, we might hit like 60, 80, 80, over 80 tons is nuts. That's a bit crazy. That means we're doing really big shit. And it's extremely heavy shit. And a little beat up for it. A little beat up. And yeah, it's been a long week. And somebody got injured today at work. I don't think I should probably talk about that on on a recording. A new person got hurt pretty bad, pretty bad. I didn't see it. I was not involved. Thankfully, it wasn't on my line. I mean, it just sucks all the way around for somebody to get hurt. I mean, he's still alive, but there was some... Sounds like he was pretty seriously hurt. It's unfortunate. Steelwork is a dangerous job, man. It's a fucking dangerous job. It is... It is what it is, you know. It is. There's, you know, now that I've done almost 2 years now of steelwork, I definitely have a respect for those that have done it before me and continue to do it today. Hopefully, at some point, you know, I'm in my, I guess you'd say, mid-40s at this point, being 43. I'm hoping at some point, you know, I move on to something a little bit less physical and perhaps dangerous. Hopefully at one point. You know, if I win that the Powerball later, then it might be real fucking soon. But, you know, that the odds on that, fairly low. Fairly low. Anyway, though, yeah, I've had a rough week. I'm on my second Monster Energy drink for the day, and I went to the reserve. I went to the gas station, and normally, I mean, I almost never do two in a day. Usually, if I do a second energy drink on the weekends, it's usually a 6-day work week when this happens, and I need to get a little pep in my step after getting off for that sixth day. I'll hit like a Red Bull, like a small Red Bull that's not so crazy. But today I was like, you know what? I need another fucking monster, man. I need a monster inside. I need a monster inside me. I'm talking deep inside me. I want that monster all the way down, all the way in. Insert it all the way in. I want to feel it in the back of my throat. That is the energy drink I'm saying. If you believe that. Anyway. I went with the reserve. They got the orange dreamsicle monster. It tastes a lot like an orange dreamsicle. I enjoy that. Enjoy that? I'm getting the stutters. I'm like early Who with my generation. Yeah, anyway. Orange dreamsicle. I'm a fan of the orange dreamsicle flavor. They've got Twizzlers. It's got the orange dreamsicle Twizzlers that you can get. I get them at Casey's sometimes. And I'm just a fan of the flavor. And I used to, there was a while where I was, when I would drink soda on the reg, regular basis, that is. Not on the rag, on the reg. I used to like some orange soda. And they sometimes would have the orange dreamsicle flavored soda, which was pretty fantastic. Anyway, yeah, I wouldn't recommend people, you know, get addicted to energy drinks. They're not good for you. They're not great for you. They're bad shit. Anyway, it's got a bit of an rough aftertaste. I don't know, bitter is quite the right term to describe it, but it's not the most pleasant aftertaste. That being said, though, I mean, if you're going to drink a monster, I haven't had a whole lot of different monster flavors. I am partial to the OG original monster flavor. The other ones that I've had, not really keen on, but the reserve, and I've seen that there's other, it looks like there's some, I've only had the orange dreamsicle. But I believe there's some other decent reserve flavors. They're sound at least good. They're possibly good. There's a lot of energy drinks I've tried and they're just like, get the fuck away from me. That is heinous. I don't care how much energy I receive from this. I'm not putting that in my mouth. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it, sir. I am not putting that in my mouth. That will not be going down my throat. I'm not swallowing. I'm spitting that directly out. I'm a spitter. And in regards to that flavor, you know, if it's orange dreamsicle, I'm swallowing. I'm swallowing all day long. I'm swallowing it, baby. Anyway. So, yeah, it's been a long, rough week. I'm looking forward to next weekend as we do have an extra day off for the holiday. We're not working that Saturday next weekend, so I'm looking at a 3-day weekend, which seems like an eternity when you've had two straight weeks of, you know, one day off. And just we've been like on a long already pretty, I guess most of the summer now we've been doing two Saturdays on, one Saturday off. Although we got a little bit of a break with the fair coming to Washington, whereas they let us have that Saturday off. Which, did I say Friday instead of Saturday before? I don't know. Two Saturdays on, one off. Anyway, the fair week, we ended up having one Saturday on. The fair, we'd had off, and then now we've had two in a row, back to back. Back to back. And it's wearing me down. Anyway, I digress on a constant basis. yeah, it's been a long, long week. I do have an update on the sofa situation. I was told last Friday that I would be receiving, that would be coming in within days. And then I got, my hopes were gotten up a little bit, but I wasn't, you know, I don't have a timetable. I absolutely have to have the thing in here. That being said, I received a phone call on, I guess it was Monday. I want to say Monday. And it was like, the sales lady, Cindy there, who was really nice. She was very helpful and whatnot upon getting the furniture and whatnot. Showed me it through the like whole display floor, which the Ashley Furniture / Missouri Furniture, all one dealio. I don't know how that works. I guess that's why there's two names. I'm not sure the company, how that there's, yeah, anyway. But it's all one store, one big ass store. And yeah, she called me Monday and thought the couch was in, and so we were lining up, like possibly getting it this Friday, this yesterday, as I'm recording this on Saturday. But after being on the phone with her for a while, she looked in and was like, oh no, just your rug is in, not the couch. So no dice. Don't have it. As I'm recording this, I do not have a new sofa with power reclining, phone chargers, and a shag rug. Not there. If I wanted to, I guess I could go try to pick up the rug in my car. It's a big rug. I don't know that, I'm pretty sure I'd have a tough time getting that in my Mini Cooper. I mean, I could try, but, maybe I could just leave the hatch open. It's not very far from where I live. It could be. Just tie it down, right? Get some straps. Fucking. That would be an interesting ride. Anywho, I don't see the point in getting the rug if I don't have the sofa in yet. It's kind of unnecessary of a silly trip. Unless I was just getting the rug, you know. Then I would probably just try to get somebody to help me with possibly a slightly larger vehicle. That being said, though, I do have a delivery. Like, I was contacted again yesterday from the saleswoman, Cindy, and she did inform me the sofa is actually in this time. And we arranged a date for next Saturday as the delivery. So on a 3-day weekend, it sounds like I'm going to be getting a sofa. So that's exciting. Exciting. And looks like due to Shelly, because he can share with it. He's got some the NFL Sunday ticket with a package deal that he can share apparently with like 6 people. So it sounds like I should have access to some NFL games on downstairs and rock my sofa. Get some NFL. I haven't really gotten that much into the NFL in years. It'll be kind of nice. Throw some recline back, watch some football, some foosball. Hopefully watch some Blues games. Fuck yeah. Blues season is starting up within, I guess, a couple of weeks, man. I believe the preseason starts in September. And so, yeah, I'm excited about that. I'm looking at my good friend John Gale from work, and COD friend. That is the Call of Duty, not like a fish friend. It's not a friend that I have that is a fish. Anyway. He and I, of course, went to a Blues game this last season. He wants to go again. I want to go again. I'm hoping to go to a few games this season. I mean, this last season I went to 2. Hoping I can go to at least 2 or 3 or 25. Who knows? I mean, there's, what, like 40-something home games? I'm not sure how many home games there are. I'm not going to that many. Unless, again, of course, I win the Powerball later. In which case, I just might get season tickets. Hell, I might go to a game outside of the Blues home, you know? I might go to Chicago or something, you know? Or wherever. I don't know where the best game would be. Maybe going to Vegas, go to the Vegas Knights, and, you know, just hang out in Vegas. Do some shit there. I mean, if you got a lot of money to burn, I mean, why not go to Vegas? I don't know what the best arena to see hockey is. You know, there's, I mean, there's, it'd be cool to just go to the, see the, at Anaheim, see the Ducks as, I've always just, I don't really give a shit about their logo now, but man, the old school Ducks logo, when they first became like a team, fantastic stuff. You know, when they were, still had like the old, not the original Mighty Ducks logo, but like, I guess more of Mighty Ducks 2. Maybe, I guess at the end, it's been a while, long, long time since I watched the Mighty Ducks. I feel like maybe they had the better logo come out at the end of the first one, but definitely by Mighty Ducks 2, they had the better, cooler logo with the duck, like, goalie mask, which is fucking fantastic. Anyway, yeah, I'm hoping to go to a couple of games. I'm looking at the Carolina game. It's a Saturday. I'm going to say October 19th. Don't quote me on that. Going to possibly get tickets to that. Hockey is just my favorite sport to watch live. I mean, it's cool to watch on TV and whatnot, but god damn, it's fucking nice in person. You know what I'm saying? Just get up there. One day I'll have to get some seats, you know, right on the glass. I don't want to spend that kind of money right now, though. Don't want to spend that kind of money. Maybe I mentioned it last week. Then again, maybe I didn't. I'm looking at the notes of the last show here. And I'm not seeing... see here. I'll visit the old site. I'm trying to see the notes, and it doesn't look like I mentioned this. I'm gonna say I didn't talk about this on the show, which I didn't think I had. My good friend John Gale, of course. We've been hanging out a lot on Fridays. After work, we go to Ernesto's. Sometimes we have a crew of people. Sometimes it's just John and I. We go out to get Mexicans. I get some fish tacos, and now I can officially say I've had every single fucking margarita at Ernesto's. Every type. Not every size. I stick with the jumbo. two jumbos I find is pushing it. That is, so going up to the monster size, which my friend Rob had, the monster size, which is why I ended up going with two jumbos, because I was like, damn it, Rob, you're making me feel like I'm not putting in enough work here. I got to step up my game. Anywho, so yeah, we hang out for Mexican, which, yeah, I get the fish tacos. The Ernesto's dip, it's got, hamburger, queso, pico de gallo in there, and it's pretty tasty. Pretty tasty. You go to Ernesto's, get the fucking Ernesto's dip. You know, you got it's like $5 or $6 or something for the Ernesto's dip. I don't recall how much. But the fish tacos not bad. I'm not gonna say not my favorite fish tacos. Gun to head, I haven't been to every Mexican restaurant around here, so I can't speak for all of the places around here. And Street Side Tacos is gone. That place had some pretty decent ones. I would say my OG fave, though, has got to be the at El Ranchito in Union over by the courthouse. Those fish tacos, get the Ejotes green beans. I mean, for years we would do that and get a margarita and then go do the podcast with old Shelley Long. And, yeah, we'd live it up with rocking the fish tacos over there. And pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. I miss going to El Ranchito. Next time I go over to the Muffin Man's, should probably make it a point to go to El Ranchito. But I go over there so rarely these days. But we both work a lot. Both being a Muffin Man myself, and then Shelly works a lot. If he's not working, he's usually like going, him and Nabina are out and about, Or they're just, if they are at home, they're playing Magic. And that's just not really my bag, you know? Not really my bag. I've got enough very expensive hobbies that have kept me in check, I guess. I don't know if in check is the right way to say that. Anywho, what I was going to get at with digressed here, I wasn't going to talk about Mexican. It was just one of the things that John and myself do. just Mexican. I love me some Mexican food. And fish tacos, especially. That's my go-to. That's my Jimmy Jam. That's not what I was getting to. The big news is, I don't want to say this is definite and concrete. I mean, I'm all on board. I'm fucking on board. Unless some kind of real serious financial situation happens between now and then, or some serious injury, or what have you, health issue. I can say this in September of 2025. So basically a year from now. I'm talking Oktoberfest 2025. John and myself have been talking about going to Munich. That's München. Yeah, yeah. Deutschland. Yeah. Germany. Back to Germany. Now, I've been really jonesing to go back to Ireland. But Johnny boy, I mean, he's had a little bit of the health issue. He's had some heart issues and stuff. And as of right now, it seems like he's not, not afraid he's going to die. I want to point out, it does sound like, he's got, going back to the doctors, it seems like they're figuring out, like, what's going on. Hopefully it's nothing too serious. Anywho, but I was like, let's get him out. And he didn't say Germany at first. I mean, he's talked about wanting to travel before. And he had said that, I guess he was talking about Amsterdam because the red light district over there. I had to pause for a second because Jimmy Cro-Magnon was, I informed him of the incident we had at work today, so I had to give him an update. Anywho, yeah, John Boy was talking about going to the red light district, and I think he was half joking, but kind of half serious, you know? Wanting to get a working lady. I'm like, dude, why are you going to bother with a prostitute? I mean, why not go to an event where there's all kinds of single ladies, there's alcohol, and it's really easy to tell who is taken and who's not. I mean, I feel like this is the time to talk about it since Oktoberfest is only mere days away in Munich. Let's see here. Here we go. I want to know about the details anyway. Okay, so here I'm doing a little search here. Okay, so in Oktoberfest, my suggestion was, okay, like, fuck going to the red light district. Nothing against, people that work as sex workers. I'm totally fine with that. My thing is, though, also, I'm like, I don't know. Amsterdam to me is like just never been real high up on the list. I mean, I love going to Europe. I'd be down, but it's just not. To me, going back to Germany sounds awesome. Going up to see the German Alps and all that stuff. And Oktoberfest, I mean, I've seen that 6 million people travel to Munich during Oktoberfest. It's only, it goes on for like 17 days. There's an insane fucking amount of people that go to Oktoberfest in Munich. It's just one big fucking party. What I was going to get at with also at Oktoberfest, there's plenty of ladies there, and with Oktoberfest, it, you know who's taken and who's not. Trying to search here, but I forgot what I need to get a refreshing course. A refresher course? As I did have. I mean, I did learn about all this stuff when I took a food and beer tour there in Munich, which I figured John and I should maybe do that before going to Oktoberfest. I feel it would be a good little refresher. Let's see here, but I'm trying to find some like history. Let's see, Lederhosen and Dirndl. This is Oktoberfesthouse .com. The history of the Lederhosen and Dirndl. Which what I was gonna say is, with the Dirndl, the traditional Bavarian dress that the ladies all wear on Oktoberfest. It's just a fun dress. It puts the girls on display, if you know what I'm saying. And whatnot. If we're doing Oktoberfest, because when I went there, I didn't actually go to Oktoberfest. I was there in the last couple days of Oktoberfest, didn't go to the Oktoberfest. I was by myself. I thought about it, but like I really didn't feel the need to be around a bunch of drunk people while I was solo alone in Germany. It seemed dangerous. That being said, though, I mean, I go with a friend, I got backup, I mean, I got to go to the Oktoberfest. I mean, this seemed like something that would really be fun, and there's plenty of single ladies. What I was going to get to, though, the dirndl, of course, there's ways you tie the dirndl to signify that if you're, you know, in a relationship, married, what have you, and then if you're single. So here's what Oktoberfest... Oktoberfesthouse.com has to say about the history of the Lederhosen and Dirndl, which the Lederhosen, I'm saying if John Boy and I go, which I'm down, dude, if he's in it to win it, I am there. I'm fucking there. I will sell a kidney if I have to. I don't know who's going to buy my kidney these days. 43-year-old guy. I don't think I've taken very good care of my kidneys, not enough to really get top dollar, I think. And being already in my 40s, anywho, I'll find a way. I will find a way. Anywho, this is what they have to say. The Lederhosen, which is, I believe is the proper pronunciation here. The Lederhosen. Lederhosen? I think it's Leder. Lederhosen. Anywho. I guess it depends on what part of Germany you're from. But the Lederhosen's only thing in Bavaria, from what I understand. Let's see here. And the Dirndls. That's the traditional Bavarian, which is, I believe, the biggest state in Deutschland. Yeah. Anywho, the Lederhosen und Dirndl may be the most recognizable country-specific outfit in the world. Even centuries after they were first introduced in Bavarian life, these tracht costumes continue to represent German pride. They are often worn now turned into Werner Herzog. They are often worn during Oktoberfest and other festivals celebrating German culture, but mostly Oktoberfest. However, the outfit is specific and unorthodox when compared to today's wear. So how did these trademark outfits come about? Who woke up one day and said, you know what would look great? Some half pant, half short things and suspenders. That would look so good. Well, clearly no one did that, but the Lederhosen und Dirndl do have long histories that parallel the lifestyle, development, and antiquity of Germany. Read on to learn the exciting history of these garbs and become the smartest person in the room of Oktoberfest tourists.
Oh, I plan on it.
Okay. The Lederhosen. Lederhosen were invented to be a traditional costume rather they were... Oh, no, my bad. I read that wrong. Lederhosen were never intended to be a traditional costume. Rather, they were created as workwear for peasants. For centuries, Germans had already been using leather to make clothing articles such as boots. Leather was a good high-endurance material for laborers and farmers to wear in demanding work conditions. Work. They pronounce W's as V's. What am I doing here? In the 16th century, France, culottes or knee breeches started to popularize throughout Europe. The French made their clothes from softer fabrics as the culottes were coulet. It's probably coulet. I don't believe the French really usually pronounce these. So coulet, maybe, were used for leisurely and aristocratic apparel. By the 18th century, German and Austrian workers in the Alps took the coulet style for their own use, but instead of using the sort of French fabrics, they went with their trusty leather. Thus, the lederhosen, which literally translates to leather breeches, was just coulet made out of leather.
I don't care about it. Let's skip the fucking lederhosen. All right. It's the working man. It's the working man's garb. I get this.
Yeah, fuck it. We'll go to the general. We'll skip the lederhosen. Yeah, we get it. They wear shorts, the leather shorts, the breeches. The breeches.
Let's get to the important stuff. The dirndl. The ladies' attire. You know, speaking back to the, for a second, to the lederhosen. I'm going to say, although it doesn't seem like something you would wear other than going to Oktoberfest, like the dirndl here, it's an attractive thing. There's some attractive dresses. I feel like you're cosplaying. But I feel like it's more like, ooh, that's hot. I don't know. Maybe ladies do enjoy a guy in a dirndl. Not in a dirndl, but maybe they do. Maybe they enjoy a guy in a dirndl. What I was going to say, the lederhosen doesn't scream to me, ooh, yeah, that's hot. Das ist hot. Leder shorts, yeah, yeah. Suspenders, yes, yes. Da.
Oh, now I'm Russian. I'm mixing Russian and German. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, suspenders, sehr hot, yes.
I'm sure there's people that find the lederhosen hot, but, I mean, it's not, the lederhosen just looks like, I don't know. I guess both of them are a bit silly. You're cosplaying. Anyway, the dirndl.
The dirndl's history parallels with that of the lederhosen. The dirndl emerged in Deutschland during the 18th century and was also intended for working peasants. This female tracht was designed to be a maid's dress for house and farm workers. Much like the lederhosen were adopted by the upper class in the 18th century, the dirndl started to make appearances in the nobles' community. Rather than using the same affordable wools of the peasants, richer dirndls were made of silk, satin, and expensive fabrics. They eventually evolved into regular dresses, thus outsourcing the need for separate bodice, blouse, skirt, and apron. Oh, the dirndl. As the dirndl started dying out, they were reinstated as costume items for the same cultural events. Yes.
Sorry, I keep getting messages.
This credit is mostly due to Oktoberfest. The lederhosen in dirndl histories. Damn it, get on to the knots.
As this does not... Oh, here we go. Oh, hold on. Hold on a second. I skipped ahead a little bit. There's a little bit about it. Anyway.
The lederhosen und dirndl history start to drift apart through their current day costume versions. Today, the lederhosen are very authentic, representative of the classic outfit. The dirndl, on the other hand, has been revived more fashionably. The original dirndl was made of very poor rag-like materials. Today's are clean, bright, and often feature shorter skirts. Yeah, very nice. Sehr gut, yeah. Anywho.
Additionally, the culture of the apron knot tying is a pretty modern emphasis. If the dirndl's not...
This is the important part. This is the part we need to remember, fellas. If the dirndl's knot is tied to the right, the woman is taken. Righty-tighty means like it's you're not getting in there. It's tight. It's to the right. It's tight. It's not... Well, it's probably loose. Anyway, if it's on the left, she's single. Tied to her left, she's single. Okay.
This rule was a loose code centuries ago, and most maids were not wearing these outfits to impress anyone while they did yard work. However, this code is taken more seriously now than it ever has been historically. So there you have it. Now you know the origin of the barbarian tracks, even though these outfits are donned in the Munchen metropolis, their homage is owed to the common folk of the Alpine and German countryside. When you're having a drink with some lederhosen-clad gents at Oktoberfest, make sure you cheers those peasants. That's right.
And you say Prost. If you cheers in Deutschland, if you're in Munchen, Prost. That's how you cheers. That's all you really need to know over there. I mean, if you speak English, you can get by. You can get by in the old Deutschland. Deutschland. And now right is she's taken, left it's wide open. If it's left, they're open, they're more progressive, they're like, let's insert all kinds of things in there. As I'm looking forward to I don't know if he's like 100% serious. I mean, we were just kind of talking about it one day. We talked about it a couple of days, but he was really serious about it one day. And but a year from now, I mean, that's a long time. So it's hard to say what, I mean, shit can happen in a year. You know, I'm looking at these dresses. Not all of them have knots, though, on them. They're like, they're different. Like, okay, these have them. And I was a picture of three ladies. Two of the three have them. But I guess if they don't have, I guess don't go after the ones if they don't have a knot, period. I don't know what to think of. I'm going to be thrown off. I'm going to be like, are you not? I'm too drunk. You don't have a knot of any type. How am I going to know? See, this girl, she's a lovely lady. She's got a left knot to the left. She's open. She's fair game, gentlemen. She's fair game. Oh, and then there's these ladies. Again, not all of them. And some of them just have like a knot thing in the middle. What does that mean? What is that? I mean, like, I'm kind of fucking somebody. What is this? Like, I came here with somebody, but I'm open to others. I'm not sure what. I definitely, though, like going over there, I feel like I should get it in Munich. I think first day we go and get lederhosen and get some real authentic leather, not some fake fucking costume garb shit. I'm talking the real holy field, the real deal, made in München. Although hopefully there's not like some Chinese or, you know, some subpar lederhosen. I would imagine you could probably get some stuff. I mean, I can order this stuff online. I can get some, hell, I can go to Johnny Brock's, get some lederhosen. It's not going to be, probably right now too. I mean, Oktoberfest is only days away. I guess a couple of weeks away. But anyway, I mean, I'm sure I could go to Johnny Brock's and get some old lederhosen, but it's going to be some cheap costume shit. It ain't gonna be the real Holyfield, Daniel. I kind of like looking at this lederhosen with the vest. That's tight. I mean, if I go out and get like go to Germany though and buy some lederhosen, and get like real serious, like spend some real cash on some lederhosen, real fucking good lederhosen in Germany. I gotta say though, I was talking some shit on some lederhosen earlier. Some of this lederhosen, pretty fashionable. Not gonna lie, I could see how some ladies or some gents might enjoy a gent in some lederhosen. As Not bad. Not bad at all. Mainly seeing the Eternals, as that's what my image search is on. Yeah, some of it just looks kind of cheesy. It looks very costumey, but I guess it depends on how much these people wanted to spend on their stuff. Yeah, man. Got to go all in if you're going to go to Oktoberfest. I feel like if you get that, though, I mean, I'm going to have to make sure that I go to Oktoberfest here, like, all the time. If I'm going to drop that kind of cash on some fucking lederhosen, I'm going to do some American ones, which I'm curious. I know that, you know, I'm sure there's pretty much probably most American, at least states, have some, you know, Oktoberfest, like somewhere in the state probably has a big Oktoberfest celebration. But I'm not sure where, let's see, what's the best place in America to go to Oktoberfest? I know that, you know, I mean, there's the Hofbräuhaus in Vegas. Let's see here. Fuck you, AI. Don't give me the AI answers. Fuck you, AI. Oh, this is surprising. This is on Viator, the travel TripAdvisor company. 7 of the biggest and best Oktoberfest celebrations in the U.S. Thanks to these American Oktoberfest events, you don't need flights to Munich to feel gemütlich. Gemütlichkeit, actually. Anyway, every year Oktoberfest Munich attracts some 6 million visitors, making it the world's largest beer festival and a bucket list event for suds lovers everywhere. But hopping on a plane to Deutschland isn't the only way to get to the festive spirits. Anyway, Leavenworth, Washington. That is not what I... This is number one. Not a place I ever really thought to go visit, period. Not what I would have thought to be number one, but I don't really know much about Leavenworth, Washington. Is that also where the prison is? The Leavenworth? That, when I hear the word Leavenworth, I just think of the prison. Anyway, says here, the best Oktoberfest in the Northwest, with classic half-timbered buildings and backdrop of snowy mountain peaks. Leavenworth, Washington. Looks like it could be set right in the middle of Bavaria in the 1960s. The historic logging town was rebuilt to resemble a village in southern Germany, and while it's a popular destination throughout the year, it's really at its best during Oktoberfest, with live Oompa bands and dancing, ceremonial keg tapping, and a range of locally made brews on draft. The celebration in the Pacific Northwest's premier Oktoberfest event. That's interesting. Number two is Denver, Colorado. Which, I wouldn't have thought, like, Oktoberfest and, like, Denver would really be, I mean, I've never been to Denver, but Colorado, I mean, you got the mountains and stuff around, so maybe that has a lot to do with it. I don't know if there's a big German constituent in Denver. Let's see what it says here. A less traditional but still worthwhile celebration. Autumn is an unbeatable time to be a beer lover in Denver. The Mile High City hosts the Great American Beer Festival in late September or early October every year. And Oktoberfest rounds out the festivity in suds swinging style. Denver's Oktoberfest first held in 1969. Doesn't have quite as many traditional German trappings as some other events around the country, but what it lacks in Lederhosen, it more than makes up for with events such as keg rolling and Stein hoisting contests. A slate of live music acts and beers made by world-class local craft breweries. Still haven't slacked your thirst. Book a Denver pub crawl. You know what? I'm out. I want the Lederhosen. I want the German experience. Which is why I plan, if I'm going to go, I'm going to fucking Germany. But anywho, it sounds like Leavenworth is number one for quite a reason here. La Crosse or La Croix, La Crosse, Wisconsin. This cheese-famous region also does some of the best Oktoberfest beer stateside. You better believe that Wisconsin knows its beer. The Badger State has one of the highest numbers of bars per capita of any part of the country and throws one of the biggest and longest running Oktoberfest celebrations in the nation. The best Oktoberfest in Wisconsin is Oktoberfest USA, held in La Crosse every year since 61. It's a bona fide institution born out of the region's long-standing German heritage. Though it only runs for only one weekend, the festival's carnival-like attractions include several parades, lederhosen games, bands, fireworks, and, of course, plenty of beer, including the traditional and craft varieties. Once you visit, you'll see why this festival earned the nickname Das Beste. Nothing's really jumping out of the place. It might be kind of cool to Denver, like Fredericksburg, Texas, Cincinnati, Ohio, Helen, Georgia. Oh, the pictures of Helen, Georgia does look very Germanic. And then there's Stowe, Vermont. What, you know, I wouldn't mind going to Vermont. None of these places really jump out at me, a place I need to go. I would say for me, I live fairly close to Herman, Missouri, which has got, it's very German. All the architecture and whatnot looks very Bavarian there. And of course they celebrate Oktoberfest, so maybe I just stay close to home if I'm not going to Deutschland. Either way, I'm just gonna be wearing lederhosen. Maybe I'll make it an all year thing. Maybe I'll just be like, that's just my thing. Yeah, I'm only like a quarter German, but that doesn't mean I can't be German, dressed like a German, traditional Bavarian, like 24/7. You know, just a full-on lederhosen all day, every day. Like, you know, I'm already an old man at this point in my 40s. And just being an old guy that lives by himself with just a three-legged cat, it's kind of a weird creepiness all in itself. But if I'm wearing lederhosen 24/7, I feel like that's going to make it even more of like, oh, that don't go near that guy. Don't go near that fella. He is a fucking weird guy. Weird guy celebrating Germany every day. It's not a swastika. Lederhosen was around way before Nazis. It has there's no correlation there other than the fact that they're both German. Both have German origins. And I'm sure, you know, the Nazi party, from what I understand, did start in Munich or around Bavaria. I believe it started in Munich, though. Specifically, and you know, that's the area in which also Lederhosen was born. But that, you know, that I feel though that could give some bad vibes if I did that 24/7. Maybe I shouldn't do that. I wanted to look up though Hofbräuhaus. I'm wondering if they ever reopened the St. Louis one. I know it closed down. I'm not seeing anything. Well, okay, there's a Belleville because it, you know, it's in Belleville, Illinois, which they consider that St. Louis-ish. There is an article here about it. Because, that, if you want to experience Germany, going to a German beer hall is the way to fucking experience it. And the Hofbräuhaus, they've got a couple locations here in the States. But if you live in Missouri, the closest one was the Hofbräuhaus St. Louis in Belleville. Let's see here. Her article says, what does court order mean for future of Hofbräuhaus, the closed restaurant in Belleville? This is if the Hofbräuhaus German restaurant, this was back in April, this article. If the Hofbräuhaus German restaurant in Belleville ever reopens and a new franchise agreement isn't signed, all signs and logos of the Hofbräuhaus brand must be removed, according to a federal judge's order filed Wednesday. This is again back in April. This requirement is part of a settlement agreement approved by U.S. District Judge Stacey M. Yandel in the Southern District of Illinois, yada, yada. The national franchisor, Hofbräu House of America, LLC, has agreed to pay for the removal. The large blue Hofbräu House signs on the exterior of the Belleville restaurant, according to Yandel's order, which is based on a proposed settlement agreement filed last month. Oh, man, that sucks. Operators of the restaurant also must remove or cover all Hofbräu House signs on the inside of the building, including branding carved into wooden benches. The order says signs on walls, glass doors, beer tanks, light fixtures, chairs, tables, and bar stools are also part of the order. Hofbräu House in Belleville shut down in January of 2023 as it dealt with a trademark and copyright infringement lawsuit filed in March of 22. By Hofbräu House America against the local operators. The German-style beer hall, the German-style beer hall and restaurant is located off Illinois 15 across the National Shrine of Our Lady of the Snows in Belleville. The order filed Wednesday resolves all the claims made in connection with the lawsuit. The Hofbräu House of America complaint had alleged that the Belleville Hofbräu House was causing irreparable harm and continuing damage to the reputation and business of both Hofbräu House and Hofbräu München. December of 22, Hofbräu House of America alleged in court documents that the Belleville restaurant had sold domestic beer. The fuck is wrong with you? And had installed arcade games and pool tables in violation of the franchise agreement. Robert W. Steffens, attorney in St. Louis representing Hofbräu House of America, said he would check with his client to see if they wanted to comment on the settlement. While the Belleville location remains closed, there are six remaining Hofbräu House sites in the U.S., including ones in Vegas and Cleveland. The franchisor is part of the München, Germany-based Hofbräu House brewery, which traces its roots to 1589. Michael A. Campbell, an attorney in St. Louis representing the court, appointed receiver for the Belleville Hofbräu House, said in a confidentially agreement prevented him from the releasing details of the settlement that were not in the court file. Just tell me what... Man, this just keeps going on, this article. I don't know why I bothered to read this much of it. Yeah, I haven't seen anything. It doesn't specify. I mean, the logo is all over the fucking place in that building. I mean, they're going to have to take it off. I mean, it's all over the fucking benches. It's all over the fuck. I mean, they're going to have to cover up. I mean, that building, I believe, was over $1 million. They spent some fucking money on that goddamn building. Yeah, it says shit. They owe millions of dollars. I guess its original closing was also due to unpaid sales tax. I mean... But it sounds like, I guess, they're going to possibly reopen it as something else. Which I don't know. That's maybe it'd be kind of a cool place, but I want it to be the original Hofbräu House, man. What the fuck is with you people? That's permanently closed. Sons of bitches. I want to know if it will ever reopen. I was hoping that, you know, knowing how, you know, millions upon millions of dollars they spent to put that fucker up. I mean, it's a big-ass building. It seats 1,100 people. It's just sitting there. Just sitting there empty. I mean, that's got to run up some money just sitting there. It's a damn shame. I was really hoping that place would reopen as Hofbräu House, but it sounds like, I guess, maybe they are going to reopen. I'm trying to look at news here to say that one way or the other. I mean, that was back in April, and they didn't really have, you would think whoever owns that building and whatnot would want to get it open back up as soon as possible so they could stop losing money, because that shit just sitting there has got to cost them a fucking fortune. I mean, hey, Hofbräu House of America. I mean, if you can just, like, somehow claim that building. I love Germany. Hell, I'll give it a go. I'll give it a stab. I'll run the place. I was in Germany one time. I'm going to hopefully go again next year. I'm all for going again. So, you know, I'll go again and make it a thing. Make it a thing. I don't know what it takes. I mean, I've worked at restaurants. I imagine I have to get a beer license. I don't know what what that require. It seemed like kind of a pain in the ass to run that place, but I'd be willing to do it because I believe in Hofbräuhaus. I believe in it. I've been to the OG establishment. And although I got to say, I'm not crazy about the location of the St. Louis one. I don't know where else you could put it. I mean, I would think it would be a better place. Well, maybe it's just because it's closer to me. But I would think, you know, it'd be a much better location over in Fenton, like over by the Amazon warehouse. Not saying that, you know, Amazon, you know, it is tough at Amazon, and probably a lot of people that work there want to get, go out right afterwards and have a drink. That only really a small part of your business. What I'm saying, it's right off of 44 right there. So you're going to get plenty of traffic there. It's just a great, I mean, you got several businesses there. You got Wally's, the massive fucking truck stop that gets a lot of traffic there. You build it over by Wally's. You've already got people like just flocking to Wally's. Like, what is this big German place right next to here? Oh, that's the Hofbräuhaus, much like in Deutschland. That's what I'd say, you know, fucking, you know, fuck this one over in Belleville. You want the real deal, Holyfield? Let's put it in Fenton, Missouri. Right off of 44. Right, put that bitch right up next to Wally's. Right up next to Wally's. I'm sure that, you know, the owners of Hofbräuhaus of America are regular listeners to the Slapbox podcast. They're one of the 100 people that listen on the regular, on the reg. I'm telling you, man, you know, I'll help run the show. I'll help run the show. You know, this could be my way out of becoming steel, you know, of being a steel worker. I don't know what it takes to run an establishment such as this, but I've been to Germany again once. Gonna hopefully, it sounds like I'm going next year. So, I mean, what more do you need to know? I can carry a lot of beers. I can lift a fuck ton of weight. So I feel like if you need somebody, I'm willing to go wait on some tables. I will carry like possibly 12 liters of beer at a time. I will wear Lederhosen. I will wear real Lederhosen. And I will make sure that every motherfucker on that staff is wearing Lederhosen. Wearing the Lederhosen, the Dirndls. We'll do it all Germany, baby. All Bavarian style. Bavarian style. We'll get Bavarian cream. Just every, instead of the soap in the bathroom, it's Bavarian cream. Now that may not work out. There's probably some health code violations there. I don't remember that being a thing in Germany, but it sounds like it should be. One of the things I remember, which is kind of like, is just all the people snorting tobacco, doing the snuff, which I find that odd. Like, I may have, before going to Germany, I may have seen somebody do that like once or twice in my life. Again, I've been around for 43 years. I've seen people spit like the chewing tobacco. Seen way too many people chew around here. Thankfully, it's not as often these days. Snuff, snorting snuff, not like not something I've seen very much of in the States here. Going to Germany, though, for whatever reason, they were snorting the snuff. And it was quite disgusting. It just seemed like a normal thing for them. It's just like, here we go. I won't do that. I won't do that. Just Hofbräuhaus, just so you know, Hofbräuhaus of America, I will not snort snuff. That is one bridge too far for me. I'm willing to do all kinds of German things. Definitely not Nazi things. Though I'm pretty certain that the Hofbräuhaus of America and of Munich are not involved with the Nazi Party. I want to make that very clear. even though that the original location, of course, which was made in the 1500s, I should point out, way before the Nazi Party ever existed, But apparently that's, you know, where one Adolf Hitler had his beer putsch. That's not a fun fact. That's what we'll call that. Not a fun fact. It's just a fact. Not so fun fact. Anyway. Yeah, so no snorting snuff and no Sieg Heiland for me. That's two things that I'm going to pass on, but I'll wear the Lederhosen. I'll even do it. I don't know how to yodel. I feel like that's not really, you know, I think it's kind of a German thing, but I feel it's more of maybe like Switzerland and whatnot. But I mean, there's the Oompa bands, and I'd be all about fucking get some Oompa bands, dude. I'd be fucking, fuck yeah, Oompa. Oompa, doompa, doompa-dee-doo, which is, you know, not really German. It's just kind of Charlie and Chocolate Factory. Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. Anyway. What have you. But back to, you know, I guess wrapping things up, man. I am pretty excited to get a sofa that, yeah, the reclining on these fuckers, man. I mean, the cushions just felt great. I've never, in my life, all of the couches that I've ever owned, with the exception of the one right behind me, which it was like a floor model I spent maybe $100 to $200 on. It was a Big Lots deal. It was very small. The cat's torn it to shit. I didn't spend much on it. That's like the only one I've ever bought. Not high dollar shit, but it's served its purpose. What can I say? I got my money out of it. I've never bought an expensive couch. All the furniture that I've owned before that, as far as like sofas are concerned, I didn't buy them. Hell, I've never bought a bed. Well, I did buy a mattress before, just a mattress. But I've never bought like a bed frame. All the furniture I've had like that was all like I'd gotten from somebody else. Like they were upgrading their shit, and I'm like, here you go. I'm like, all right, thank you very much. My first apartment, I had my grandparents. Most of the stuff I had was my grandparents' stuff. I could have had their couch. I passed on that because there was a couch already in that apartment, and I'd gotten the deal that were like, if you want this couch, you can keep it. Otherwise, it might have been part of the deal. I had to get rid of it. Which case, it was a shitty old couch that I didn't want to have to like get out of there. So I was like, fuck it. All right, I'll sleep on it. Sure, it had a bed inside it. It was not a nice couch, but it was free. It was nice for free. It was nice for free. I slept on that thing for years. It did have a bed on it, but I never used the bed. I just slept on it as a couch. It's just what I do. I sleep on couches, man. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck is my deal. But I'm fairly excited to buy like some legit, like nice furniture, though again, it's scary. I got a cat. He's got claws. He likes to claw things. I gotta try to prevent him from doing that. Hopefully he likes to tear up the rug that I got. And I'm gonna hopefully, you know, I'm probably gonna put covers over the damn thing while I'm not using it. So hopefully, like right now I have some moving blankets I can throw on it when I'm not in use. Just leave that on there and hopefully, again, he doesn't just tear the shit up. I don't give a fuck. If he can tear those moving blankets up all he wants. He can try. Those things are pretty sturdy. But I've looked into, I mean, there's things I could buy to cover, like couch covers. Or sofa covers. This is technically a sofa. I don't know the difference between a sofa and a couch. I'm not a furniture expert by any stretch of the imagination. I guess this week too, I guess it was this week, I finally heard back about my epoxy resin table is being made, or he's about to make it. I guess he's sourcing the wood and whatnot. Nick, let's see here. The fella that's that I ordered it from off Etsy. I will pull that up real quick. Let's see here. Where is my messages? Nick DeMeo is the fella that don't see the name of his company that I ordered it from, but he is working on it right now. He's going to be sending me pictures as soon as he really gets some progress done so I can see how it's coming out. But I'm going to have an epoxy resin table that, Wood Eyes Woodworks over on Etsy. I'm going to venture to guess. I mean, it's probably like just a one-man show. Maybe he's got a significant other or somebody else that works with him on it, but I'm going to assume it's probably just like a one-man show sort of situation. Like, I have a friend that I run with that creates his own furniture. His wife is involved, but I think he's the one that actually makes all the stuff. I'm not sure if she helps with that aspect, but I mean, they turn their house into also his workshop, which it's mainly his workshop. The part they live in is not that big, but he's got some awesome fucking tools that the machinery that's like over 100 years old. I would have ordered a table from him, but he doesn't do epoxy resin. That I'm pretty sure he hasn't done that. Which is, I don't know. I just wanted that. And I know the last I talked to him, it's been a while, but he had like a 6-month backlog of work. Because, you know, he's hand building every piece of furniture out there, and it takes some time. So just seeing that it might take like a month to get this table, I was like, well, that's not too bad. So I'm looking at the date they gave me originally was sometime in September to like beginning of October. So I could get this table, you know, prime Oktoberfest time. But it's going to look like lava. So that's exciting. I'm going to have some game nights and shit here. I could actually have people over and not feel weird about it because I actually have stuff for them to, you know, like sit on. I don't have, as of right now, though, I don't have tables for the epoxy resin. I mean, I've got some chairs. Did I say tables for the table? The chairs for the table. I may or may not have said that wrong. But yeah, I don't have chairs per se. I have chairs. Of course, I've got the table that Muffin Man gave me when I moved into this place that we used to do the podcast on. That is up my upstairs here. Which, you know, I could, I guess, put that downstairs, but then I wouldn't have a table upstairs for doing a podcast, which I very rarely ever do here. But I want to have just like a nice... just something like, I want it to look nicer downstairs. What can I say? And then on top of that, though, hopefully next week I do some work around the house. I need to paint the garage door because, of course, somebody egged it months and months ago. It kind of destroyed the paint and stuff, and it was looking kind of rough anyway. And I need to replace the seal on the garage door. But paint the garage door and hopefully do some power washing. Well, at least the front of the place. And again, yeah, I still need to get a quote and all that on the roof. But things are happening at the penthouse. So, you know, I should have some things to talk about come next podcast. As it looks like I'll have a sofa. Maybe I'll bring mics downstairs and just pod off the sofa. Probably not, but maybe. You know, I could do that. It could be an option. It might be something that happens. All right. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.